I'm listening. What do you require?
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. I'm Aprilian, currently of the Earthen Ring server, and this is episode 25, recorded on Sunday, June 10th, 2007, entitled, Am I Just an Imaginary Friend? As I was preparing for this podcast, I went in-game. One of the things I like to do right before I record is actually play World of Warcraft because I feel like it gives me a better feel and a better, better to talk about the game right after I've just played it. And while I was in the game, I actually was in Crush Bridge Hold with my miner, Awari, who just hangs out there, and I log her on and I get some ore and then I log her off, and I know it's an awful existence for her, but it's good for me because I can then send the iron ore actually to my alt Primal, or Primall, who is my bank alt, and she puts it up on auction along with any gold and silver that Awari mines, and then I send all the mithril to my jewel crafter Trishel, and then she prospects it, and she's been doing pretty good with that. She's got a load of gems, but anyways, I digress. I was in guild chat and someone's roommate said, oh, you'd rather be with me than be with your imaginary friends on WoW. And it was ironic because I had already done the show notes on this, and a lot of this today's episode is going to be focusing on the validity of the friendships we make on WoW versus our real life friends, and whether it's if we can really call these people friends and whether it's really socializing. I touched on this a little bit on my last episode, but I just thought I would go into it just a little bit more. But before we get into that, let's talk about what happened this past week. It's been another busy week, and I've had a lot of fun. I had mentioned last week that I had transferred Aprilian from one account to the other, specifically for the reason of triple boxing her with Trishel. Aprilian is my level, she was my level at the time, 25 Blood Elf Enchanter and Taylor, and she was a Warlock. And I had her on the same account with Trishel, who was a level 46 Hunter, and on another account I had Audrion. Well, I wanted to be able to triple, and Audrion was level 23. Blood Elf Hunter. And I've been used to dual boxing, and I did a special episode on that, the video episode with Audrion and Aprilian dual boxing. And I felt that the one element that was really missing from this whole multi-family interaction is the fact that there was no one who could actually triple box with them who was of a higher level. And Trishel being 20 levels higher, I felt she would be the perfect candidate. And since she, in the whole history of Aprilian and Audrion, Trishel was sent to help them, so it was appropriate that they be able to triple box with them. And so I took Trishel, Audrion, and Aprilian into Wailing Cavern, and it went fairly well. Just to refamiliarize you with my setup, I have an iMac and a MacBook Pro, and the iMac is a 20-inch iMac, Intel dual core, whatever, and the MacBook Pro is attached to a 20-inch cinema display. I actually had the MacBook Pro closed. I had Trishel and Aprilian on the iMac, and Aprilian was following Trishel, and then on the MacBook Pro I had Audrion, who was following Aprilian, which was I was actually controlling Trishelle. I was alt-tabbing between Trishelle and Aprillion, and this worked out well because I could tell that Aprillion was still following Trishelle because I could see Ardrion following Aprillion on the MacBook Pro. And Trishelle was able to clean out a lot of the mobs fairly easy with her pet. She has a cat that has stealth, so it's pretty good at wiping out a couple of mobs at a time. The mobs in Wailing Cavern, if you're not familiar with it, are levels. When you first get in, there's a level Elite 16 through, and inside, I think the highest is maybe an Elite 20 or 21. And so, because I'd been there before, I knew what to expect. And we were. The best thing happened is that while we were going in, and there was another group going in right ahead of us, and they managed to clear off the mobs. If Wailing Cavern, you have to go through a whole bunch of mobs before you actually get to the instance. So we managed to do that. We got in, we started clearing out some stuff. They picked Aprillion and Ardrion picked up some serpent blooms, and they got some of the deviant hides. And it was going along very well. And then one of my guildmates got on, and it was actually Ashayo. I think I've mentioned her before. But she started dual boxing, and she has two, I call them the boys, Jekyll and Hyde, and Jekyll and Hyde. And I asked her if she wanted them to come with us into Wailing Cavern. And at first she said she was afraid that she was going to mess up, because dual boxing and triple boxing is very tricky. And like I've mentioned in other pre in previous podcasting, I usually don't like to do it in groups because of the fact that you can make some serious judgments of error in judgment and cause a group to get wiped. But I said, look, I've got three, so why don't you bring your two? So we were actually two people with five characters in Wailing Cavern, and it went really well because I really didn't use Aprillion very much because she was following Trishelle, and by the time she could do a DOT, Trishelle and Ardrion and Jekyll and Hyde had taken care of the mob. So anyways, it went pretty well. And we got some nice loot, and we actually cleared out all of Wailing Cavern. And then we went back and raised Noxtris. I forgot the guy's name. But you go back and you escort this other guy through. And, once you clear everything out in Wailing Cavern and you head back, I think some of the mobs respawn. So that was kind of interesting to do that, and it was kind of fun. And we made it back, and we did the escort, and we got back to the cavern, where we awakened the disciple, Narlax, because the tauren at the entrance is the disciple of Narlax. And then it's this really big battle where all these things are coming at you, and we did pretty good. There's a murloc, a giant murloc that comes out of the water, and he has another quest. He has a shard that starts another quest. And we were able to finish all the quests in Wailing Cavern, and it was kind of neat just being able to try doing that on with the three computers and two people on five tunes. Thanks for joining me, Ashayo. That was fun. Anybody else that wants to dual box or triple box? And you're on a server that I'm on, let me know. Send me an email at control-alt-wow, that's CTRLALTWW @gmail.com, and we'll give it a try. It's once you get the hang of it, it's a lot of fun, but of course you don't want to do it in a regular group, like I've mentioned, because it is kind of tricky and maybe not fair to the other people if they don't realize it. So the other thing that I've been doing is, all of a sudden, I got the cooking bug. Somebody mentioned somewhere that cooking over 300 was very powerful, that it gave a lot of buffs, and so I decided to check out the ones that I had that had near 300. And Trishel, the 46 orc hunter, has a 270, had 270 something at the time. Now she's heading towards 300, and she's got the master cookbook that I think I bought off of the auction house, because I think it's in Outland somewhere. And Realfire already had the cookbook. She's the level 49 leather worker hunter, and she managed to get up to 333. I bought some buzzard bites, the buzzard bite recipe, and then I went crazy trying to find buzzard meat, so I bought a bunch off the auction house. The biggest problem was balancing between what real fire could make that would give her leveling points in cooking and what she could then pass back to Trishel. And it took some shuffling, because once, you know, she was real fire was making clam chowder and or some kind of chowder with clam meat. But once she got to a point where it wasn't giving her points, it was green, or it would give her points if she did a whole bunch of it. It made more sense just to pass it back to Trishel so Trishel could be able to make some too. Another thing that I've been doing with Aunt Rillia is a couple of quests that really don't give any XP. One of them gives a little bit of rep, but not a lot, and not in any way she needs to. But she just does it because it's fun for me, and I think it releases endorphins, but we'll go into that a little bit later on. She likes to go and while she's in the crater, and she happens to be in there mining thorium, she picks up the crystals. There are red, green, yellow, and blue, and they're for the pylon quest, which would allow you to get these specific buffs. She actually does use the buffs a lot, particularly the one that takes away a percentage of the mobs, excuse me, armor. Crystal yield decreases an enemy's target armor by 200 for 2 minutes, and she uses crystal ward, which increases the target's armor for 200 for 30 minutes. And the other thing she uses is Crystal Restore, which heals a target for 670 damage, which comes in handy when you need to heal someone, and she's obviously not a healer. And then there's the Crystal Charge. It inflicts 383 to 517 fire damage to targets in a 3-yard radius, which is good when there's multiple targets to hit. And the other thing is Crystal Spire, which she doesn't use that much, but it yields a target around a friendly target, doing 12 damage to anyone who hits her. And what's the other one? Oh, Crystal Force uses the use increases the target spirit by 30 for 30 minutes, and it's a guardian elixir. Which is funny, because that's the only one that has a specific. Oh no, Crystal Ward is a guardian elixir also. I guess this has to do with the new way that buffs can stack. But anyways, you create these by going into Angor Crater and collecting these crystals. You have to. There's a quest that you find in the cave at the back of Marshall's Field, and it. This little dwarf gnome, I'm sorry, gnome, I always get gnomes and dwarfs mixed up, sends you on this quest to find all these different pylons. But once you've done them, you just collect the crystals to create the buffs. And Aunt Rillia just likes collecting the crystals because they're pretty. And also, she does enjoy the buffs. The other thing she does is she cre collects Angora soil, and she does the Morrowgrain quest. I think it's called Morrowgrain Labs. And she then takes those, she gets the more, oh, Morrowgrain Research. And she takes the bag and the seeds that she can get from the NPC in Thunder Bluff. And for every packet of these seeds and 2 Angora samples, she gets this little pod, and she's trying to collect more grain. And the only reason why she's collecting the more grain is to get rep with Thunder Bluff, which is kind of silly because, she. What is she going to get from Thunder Bluff other than maybe she wants to get a Kodo? Oh, and she also gets these pots. Sometimes it's interesting stuff or healing pots, but sometimes it's stuff like wild vine potions or things that she wouldn't be able to get otherwise. But the point is that she just does this for fun because she likes collecting. There's something very satisfying, and we'll get to this again later on in the podcast, about this game that allows you to get to complete these little tasks that make you feel good or are very satisfying. What else is going on? I'm preparing for another transfer because I'm a transferholic along with the altaholic, and I'm leveling up some alts on Dunmarl because I like to try PvP. I got out my alts on Lathan, which is another PvP server, and they did some fishing because the guild that we're in, Fat Loot Fishers, do the fishing contest on Sunday, which I need to get them up so they can do that, but I'm not doing enough. It's one of the bad side effects of having too many alts is that sometimes you might find that there are some alts that are being neglected. Of course, it's all about how you want to do it and how you want to play. So, and they're not like they're going anywhere or they're going to time out because you can have as many alts as you want and they'll just sit there until you're ready to play with them again. The only thing that might happen is that some friends might move on that were on the server, but as long as you're having fun, that's all that really matters. Okay, let's talk about the contest. If you remember from the last few episodes, I set up a contest. The prizes was the Burning Crusade key and a Landro long shot tabard. I wanted to see if anyone could submit a tagline to close out the show, a little bit better than the one that I'm currently using, and I received 2 submissions. And I want to thank Austin and Ron. Austin submitted the following. Over 40 minutes have passed. This is the end of the podcast. I love making alts. What can I say? To all of you, I bid you good day.
Taz Dingle.
Actually, Austin wanted to finish it out with a gnome cheer, but I decided to substitute the troll cheer. And thank you for that submission, Austin. And the other submission came from Ron, who plays a character named Karbizit, Karbizit. And his suggestion was, of all the podcasts I've ever done, this was the most recent. Thank you for that submission, Ron. And I believe that Austin wins the Burning Crusade key, and Ron wins the tabard, the Landro Longshot tabard. And again, I thank you for the submission. One thing I did get was a few emails, and I read them on the last show, that people are listening, but they're not just a creative type. So I came up with a completely different one than either one of those that I'm going to use, and I'll play it right now so that you could see.
Until
May
the
all
eternal
paths go
strife be
wrong.
silent.
May
Dark
the radiant
Lady
be at
watch
your
over
back.
you.
And of course, the multiple voices represent the multiple alts saying goodbye. So I thought that would be a good way to close out the show. Thank you everybody for submitting, and thanks for your emails. Please continue to email me at Control Alt Wow ctrlaltwow@gmail.com. That's ctrlaltwow@gmail.com. I also would like it if you would go to iTunes and give me a review. Any input is appreciated. I really enjoy doing this show, but it's even better when I hear from you guys out there. And let's go on to a little discussion I wanted to work on about friends. I started recording this podcast on Monday, and now it's Tuesday morning, and I'm kind of glad I waited a little gap because people had been telling me about Tavern Cast's latest episode, which actually was recorded back in February, and they thought that some of the points I had brought up on previous podcasts were relevant to the Tavern Cast podcast. And they wanted me to listen to it. So I finally got around to listening to it. My favorite place to listen to podcasts are at work. I have this speaker video thing that I can plug my iPod into and listen to podcasts very nicely and comfortably when I'm not secretary. Well, while I'm working, I can listen to it. And I have to say, I was a little bit saddened, a little bit concerned, and a little bit defensive. And if you haven't listened to Tavern Cast, it's the After Hours number 3, and I kind of enjoy their podcast because they actually go to a bar, hence Tavern Cast. That's the After Hour one. There is one where they kind of do a regular podcast, but based on being in a bar drinking beer, which is kind of ironic because they focus on some things, and I won't go into too many details. You can pick up the podcast and listen to it and get kind of an idea of what I'm talking about. But I'll touch on a couple of things. One is one of the guys did a supersized thing on World of Warcraft where he went in and played 10 hours a day. He was supposed to play for 30 days, and he discovered that, oh my god, it was so horrible because he found that he stopped connecting with people on the outside, and that he found that he was playing more and playing past discomfort. He had back problems and had to take a lot of Advil. Okay, well, I was going to talk about friends, and I'm going to get to friends after I talk about this, because I don't know. I usually generally do not try to talk too much about other people's podcasts because, you know, I don't want to steal their thunder or take away from their hard work. But at the same time, I'm such a relatively small podcast that I'm sure that whatever I do won't affect anybody else's podcast. But, first of all, he went into this with some assumptions that, you know, he was doing a supersized thing. So I think he knew that he was going to find something negative. The other thing is he was forcing himself to play 10 hours a day. And if he's trying to, I don't know, get himself in touch with the average pseudo-addicted WoW player, playing 10 hours a day, forcing yourself isn't how to do it. I think a natural progression would have been better if he had just played as much as he wanted to and stopped when he wanted to and then started up again when he wanted to. But the point of the whole thing is that when people do play, they play because they want to play. And yes, there are some people who take things into extreme. And there will always be people who take things into extreme. The first thing is that, as far as other addictions, this is, wow, World of Warcraft is, I want to say, benign to begin with. For instance, if you're addicted to alcohol or any other drugs, marijuana, heroin, crack, coke, you're already, by when you first initially indulge in them, even alcohol, you are negatively affecting yourself. Booting up a computer and playing World of Warcraft isn't going to give you a negative effect just from the beginning. So there, in that respect, it's different from doing from other addictions. Now, there's some points I want to talk about when he respond to him, and then I want to go ahead and talk about what I wanted to initially talk about in this show, which was about friends in World of Warcraft. He said that he withdrew from the world, he didn't answer phone calls, and that he returned calls, and that he suffered back pain. Well, these were things that were already irresponsible. For instance, I know I play a lot, but I choose to play a lot, and I play a lot responsibly. I always walk my dogs, I always pay attention to my husband. I make it to work on time every day, even if that means like I have to stop at a certain time and get ready for work. I never push it to where I'm hours late because I can't leave. I also set up limits within the game to avoid situations like that. For instance, I multi-box so that I can go into places where I normally wouldn't be able to go by myself, so that I can stop and not disappoint another person. I also know when, you know, how I, before I go into an instance, I know how long it's going to take, or I try to get an estimate. And then if I go past that time, I stop. It's all about being responsible. The other thing, he also said that about the physical effect. I am on a computer. I'd say I get up in the morning at 6. I play for a couple of hours before I get ready for work. 9 to 5, I'm on my computer almost the whole time while I'm at work. Then I come home. Oh, I go to the gym 4 times a week. And then I come home, and between 8 and 10, or 7 and 10, I'm on the computer some more, except for when I'm eating dinner. So I say in a normal day, I'm on the computer at least 12 hours, if not more. But when I'm on my computer, I have everything set up so that it's ergonomic and it's comfortable for me, and I have no physical pain. My keyboards are both at work and at home are at the height that I'm supposed to have. I sit up. I'm very conscious of that because I do not want to be humped over when I'm an older woman. Well, older woman. And I go to the gym. So just like with anything else, there's a certain level of responsibility. And just because some people take it to the extreme and let themselves go does not mean that it's the game's fault. As far as his disappointment with his guild members because they didn't notice that he was playing a lot, I'll go back to, I had a friend when I was in my bar days. When I was younger, I used to go to clubs, and I had a few friends who were in bands. And I don't know if you've ever had friends who were in bands, but these guys were really good, and I used to go to a lot of clubs in Boston and in Providence, and we would have lots of fun, and I really cared about these guys, but they participated in a lot of bad behavior. They did drugs. They drank a lot. I didn't drink to excess because I never felt comfortable drinking to excess. I always had a 2-drink maximum. I remember one day trying to get a bunch of friends to try this drink that I like, and it's cranberry juice and orange juice. And I said, you know, you can drink this all night long and you don't have to worry about any negative side effects, you know. And I brought them the drinks, and they sipped it, and one of them finally realized that there's no alcohol in this. Three of the four friends went ahead and finished drinking it. One friend actually said, "I'm not going to drink this." They refused to drink the drink because just because it didn't have any alcohol in it. And my whole thing was, I was trying to get them to understand that in between other drinks, you can have juice. You don't have to drink a drink every time. The reason why you want to drink is because you're thirsty. You drink a drink that doesn't have alcohol, then drink a drink that has alcohol. You can alternate. This was met with such, not negativity, but like, why? Why would I want to drink a drink that doesn't have alcohol in it? Now, thinking about this, it seemed perfectly reasonable. Wouldn't it make sense if everybody, when they went out to drink, alternated between alcoholic drinks and non-alcoholic drinks? But you try telling some friends of yours in the bar. You're sitting in the bar now. You wouldn't even think of all. I mean, Tavern Cast was sitting in the bar. They wouldn't even think of alternating between alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks. And this is a simple face-to-face interaction. And you, I could not take these people away from their bad habits. One of my friends, Gene Severin, I loved him like a brother. He drank so much that he died from liver disease. There was nothing I could do other than what I did. So now you're gonna say, in a game, I'm supposed to, across the internet, stop somebody from playing a lot in something that, in reality, from my perception, I assume that everyone that's playing is a mature person and understands the limits of the game. So, unless they cry out for help, and of course, in my guild, Alea Iacta S, when there have been things on the message board, or someone said they had to stop playing because of school or whatever, I've always encouraged them, go ahead and stop playing. You're doing a good thing. We'll be here when you get back. I'm impressed that you're doing that, whatever it is that you're doing, But as far as identifying specific people who are playing excessively, as I said, I couldn't do it in real life, and it's the same thing. It doesn't. The point I guess I'm trying to make is the fact that no one stopped this guy from playing not as long as much as he did when he did this experiment. It's no different from somebody in a bar hanging out with their friends and letting them drink excessively. Short of taking the keys when they drive, and even that's a difficult and impossible thing to do sometimes. But either way, it did not invalidate my friendship with Gene Severin. It didn't invalidate my friendship with other people in my circle, and it wouldn't invalidate my relationship on World of Warcraft. And having said that, just one last thing about the Tavern Cast thing. He focused on some of the bad things. I never even heard him mention whether or not he had any fun, what things he did. So, I think that, of course, if you go to look for the bad, you're gonna find the bad. Just like the guy in the Supersize. You can't go to McDonald's every day and eat and expect to be healthy. McDonald's is not a viable food source. It's a treat every once in a while. Yes, some people go to extreme. I haven't been to a McDonald's to eat in, I'd say, I can't even remember, 2 or 3, 4 years. But again, I'm a mature person. And I understand my limits, and I understand what my body needs. Okay, so let's go on back to the original topic really quickly. Why do we have friends? To hang out with, to have fun, to help when you need it. How do you pick your friends? You find people that you have something in common with. I remember moving from an all-black neighborhood to a neighborhood that was mostly white. And I remember in school, a lot of the black kids hang out together. And I was kind of thinking that's not quite right. I had to make a decision. Who do I hang out with? Do I hang out with all the black people? Or do I do the same thing I did in my old neighborhood, which was find people that I had something in common with and hang out with them? And that's what I ended up doing. I was on the school newspaper, so I hung out with somebody who was on the school newspaper and who also happened to be in my French class, and who was also had a stepfather and a bratty brother. I had a bratty sister, so we had a lot in common, and the fact that she was white had nothing to do with it. It's just that she was another person. And this is the same thing you do in World of Warcraft. You find out people, you find people you have something in common with. And the neatest thing about World of Warcraft is, unlike that situation and when I moved when I was in high school, I can easily choose the people I have in common with, regardless of any external characteristics. Usually it's by a guild affiliation, by needs, by what level you are. You know, you got to be in a quest, and by skill. One of my bestest buds in World of Warcraft currently is a warlock named Asheo, whom I've mentioned before, and I met her in Ghostlands. I was doing a quest. Some people needed some help, and it was a quest that I needed to do. And I saw her on her Feld Steed. She was a level 42 warlock helping out some lower level people. And I remember thinking, wow, she's awesome. I was a warlock. I was on Aprillion, who's my warlock. And I immediately found that I liked the way this person played, and I liked a lot of things about her. And we've become really good friends. And the fact that she is really a he and lives in Australia has no effect on our interaction and the level of friendship we have. Okay, and I'm gonna close this out. I've gone a little bit longer than I normally would, but I want to touch on this. I wanted to say one more thing about friends in World of Warcraft is, I think the hardest thing for the non-World of Warcraft player to understand is the complexity of the game. The viewpoint that it is merely a shoot 'em up game and we as players are spending hours firing weapons and killing things is not correct. While there's a large amount of that going on, a lot of time is spent doing other things. We interact with others very much to such a degree that if this was made to be a first-person shooter with no online, the way it's set up now, most of us couldn't function because we need other players. The auction house, for just even if you never went out questing or if you soloed all the time, you still need the auction house. There are things you're going to need that you can't get on your own, and the only way you're going to be able to get it is by going to the auction house. There are ways to make money by putting stuff on the auction house that if no one else was there to buy it, you wouldn't be able to buy it. There are things that you need, the questions that you can never figure out on your own. Although you could use the internet, and although there are books there, sometimes there's one thing that you just can't find or you can't figure out. You can yell it out in trade, you can yell it out in guild chat, and somebody will answer you. There's a lot of complexity, there's a lot of fun, there's a lot of chatting. If people think that we're just sitting here by ourselves in front of a computer, they have no idea what we really are doing. We are totally interacting. There are times in guild chat where I am reading stuff and busting out laughing because the people are just so funny. And there's so many things that are, I want to say, insider jokes that geeks would only get, or certain geeks. There's lots of references to Monty Python, the Holy Grail. Someone will make a crack about 42 being the answer. That's from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The other day, there was a thing about Fawlty Towers and the whole German episode. There's references to culture figures from the 80s in the US. I mean, there's just so much stuff going on underneath the fighting and so much interaction. And there's a wonderful woman in my guild who hands out cinnamon buns or cinnamon rolls. And it's, even though they're virtual cinnamon rolls, you still get the feeling that there's someone giving you this warm roll, and it's really nice, and it's a good feeling. The other thing about World of Warcraft is the dynamics change. The things are always going on. There's always something different, and It's a social interaction, and to me, it's valid. I want to close this with saying thank you for listening. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Am I way out in left field? Am I delusional? I do worry to a certain extent, and that's one of the reasons why I had to bring up Tavern Cast, because I am very much into this, and as one of the other podcasts, I think it's Wildcast, Alantia calls it the metaverse. I believe that it's a valid metaverse. It's a valid place to hang out in. And for those of us who can deal with it may not be valid for everyone. I do caution, especially younger kids, because you do need the interaction of people up until a certain age until you're able to handle such a thing. But I also worry about it because I have been addicted to chemicals in the past. Who hasn't? And but when I saw that they were detrimental to my lifestyle, I was able to walk away from it. At the moment, I don't even drink, I don't smoke, I don't do any drugs other than over the counter, or when I had my surgery, I had some prescription drugs. But I even stopped doing the painkillers way before I was supposed to, because I don't like to have my body or my mind altered chemically. And the thing I like about World of Warcraft is it does challenge me, and I just don't see it as a bad thing. I just think it has to be moderated, and it has to be done sensibly. And let me hear your thoughts, because it's time for me to close. You can write me at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's CTRLALTWOW at gmail.com. Visit my website at controlaltwow.com. And don't forget to go to iTunes and give us a review. I've given up on Dig. You can go to dig.com and search podcasts for Control Alt Wow. I would love to have some more comments, but I got three or four digs, and that was it. So for now, I'm going to close out, and thank you for listening. And remember, time is money, friend.
Until next time, go on,
lady, watch over you.